This is MemberK Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberK Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Hello again. I'm beginning program 2 in a series on resilience. Last time I struggled with coming up with an exact definition of resilience because the author of the book I'm using, Dr. Flack, doesn't really define resilience as much as gives us the characteristics of resilience. So I went to the internet and looked up resilience and frankly didn't get much farther. My internet dictionary defines resilience as the ability to recover quickly from changes or misfortunes, or the general concept of buoyancy. Well, I like that, but I don't know that necessarily quickly is what Dr. Flack means. I want to focus particularly on four characteristics of resiliency today. Three inner strengths, which are a high tolerance for distress, focus and commitment to life and faith, and one interpersonal strength, a willingness to let go of resentment. I've titled this, Resilience Runs in the Family, because frankly, this is about my father. My father is one of my heroes. I know that because I know it in my heart. And I also said it on television a few weeks ago when a local news station highlighted my father and his activities during and since World War II. My father, Stan, is the founder of the organization that I currently run, and he ran it for 25 years and then turned it over to me 15 years ago. And we're celebrating in May our 40th anniversary. One of the things I found out about my dad is that he doesn't always remember all the stuff that he's done. He's 88 this year, and he's lived a very full life. About 4 years ago, my cousin sent me a box of photos and things from her mother's house after her mother passed away. She said they look like they belong to us. I was digging through those things, and I found an article out of our local church magazine that said that Private Buck was available to speak in area churches. This was interesting to me because there was a picture of my father on that. Albeit a much younger man with a kind of a dashing mustache, I might add. I asked him about it, and he said, "Oh, yeah, that was Private Buck. I had forgotten about that." And so I heard this story that when he went through the war, he wrote anonymously back to the church magazine with little notices and devotionals and things like that as Private Buck. Unfortunately, he was critically injured in the spring of 1945, and then had to write from his convalescence. But let me read a short article today because I think it relates very much to the resilience that I've been talking about. This was an article that he wrote that was published May 8, 1945, entitled The War and Me. My part in this war was rather a passive one, although sometimes actively pursued. Being a medic, we were usually called after the damage was done, although we had to be close at hand at all times. Now, even that call must go unheeded. God has seen fit to remove this medic from active service to the comparative quiet of a bed of recuperation, which at the moment of this writing is on a speeding hospital train. I can't say that my tour of combat was unhappy, uneventful, or uneducational. Unparalleled opportunities for service were presented and grasped. New experiences continually made the way unusual. Of course, there were times when one was seized by strong desires for home and loved ones, but it is difficult to be homesick on the battlefield. It's great to be home, and yet it's hard to be gone. Comrades with whom one raced from Omaha Beach across France, Belgium, and Holland into Germany are now going across the Rhine towards Berlin. It is sometimes hard to rest here. And yet, I am fortunate to be anywhere. Shortly before being wounded, I wrote about an unusual incident when it seemed my life had been spared, calling the essay, "Nor Shall a Sparrow Fall." This sparrow fell. But as the passage goes on, God saw it and protected even so. In a few months more, a somewhat bedraggled sparrow will spread its wings and try to be of some service somewhere. The same faith that stood the test in the face of many an active dire emergency has met the new passive tests of a hospital bed with its oftentimes distressing news. Thy God shall supply all thy needs. Private Buck. It's hard to read that without becoming overly emotional, because at that point my dad, Private Buck, didn't know if he'd lose a leg or if he'd lose an eye. He lost an eye, but kept the leg. And I've watched him all my life deal with the fact of not being able to see like me, and of walking mostly in pain, and yet I never saw him be resentful. I never heard him say, "Why me?" What I saw was a man who came home, applied to the University of Chicago, got a doctorate in clinical psychology, and spent 30 years teaching psychology in a state university. And, on the side, he developed a ministry for professionals in ministry. He had a tremendously high tolerance for distress. I can't imagine in my early 20s what it would have been like to experience his pain and permanent injury and disability. He had a focus and a commitment to life. I go back to this bedraggled sparrow who somehow hopes that he can be of use, and yet who had an impact on hundreds, if not thousands, of people over the years. Indeed, I can't go anywhere in my town without somebody telling me that they were students of my father, and he helped them in strategic ways and in strategic times. He was also a person of faith. In some ways, it might be easy for a person of faith far from the battlefield, and it's hard to be a person of faith through the kind of injuries that he had. Yet he came back, maintaining his faith. So I see all of these characteristics operating in him. I've never seen him be resentful. I've never seen him want to give up. I've never seen him lose his focus. Certainly, at 88, widowed for 2 years, life has been lonely. He's been down at times, but then he manages to think of something new or focus on something else besides himself, and then gets engaged and excited. I hope that as I face my final years, I can maintain some of that resiliency, because life sure feels a lot more exciting that way than any other way. Pardon me for this very personal journey down my own little story. I am sure that many of us have little stories like this about ourselves or our relatives who persevered in times of trial, who seemed to be able to be buoyant, maybe not immediately, but fairly shortly thereafter, whose journeys of recovery were quite painful and long, and yet who managed to get along, to make out okay, to refocus and continue forward in faith, to be of some service somewhere. As you think through your week between now and the next program, look to your relatives and your close relationships. Are there examples of resiliency? Could there be somebody out there who could serve as an example for you and as a mentor for you in your own search for resiliency? Like me, you've got some heavy thinking to do. Talk to you next time.
This feature is a presentation of MemberCare Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.